Welcome to the Upside Podcast, powered by Upside Global and hosted by Julian Blinn, founder and CEO of Upside Global. The Upside Podcast is listened to weekly by over 6,000 sports and tech executives from all sports leagues and teams in the United States and around the world. Julian has been developing technologies for professional sports teams for over 10 years and has worked for major tech companies along with sports tech startups. In each episode, Julian interviews global leaders in sports to share knowledge on emerging technology in the sports industry and how these technologies can help improve the performance of individuals and organizations, both on and off the playing field. And now here's your host, Julian Blinn.
So today we have the honor to interview Tad Young, an NBA player with the Toronto Raptors. Tad is also an investor, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. So Tad has been playing in the NBA for 16 years for the Sixers, the Timberwolves, the Brooklyn Nets, Indiana Pacers, Chicago Bulls, and San Antonio Spurs. He's also an investor at Reform Ventures. So Tad, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, I appreciate you.
Great, so Tad, what I want to talk to you about today, first we'll talk about your background as an NBA player, investor, and philanthropist, and then we'll discuss the importance of technology for you as an athlete, and then we'll touch on how you ended up investing in startups. We'll also talk about your investment philosophy, and then lastly, we'll talk about your favorite portfolio startups. How does it sound?
Sounds great.
Great. So, Tad, you know, just to begin with, could you tell us about your background as an NBA athlete and investor?
My background as an NBA athlete, drafted 2007, 12th pick, which is such a long time ago. But 2007, 12th pick. Played for many different teams, built a lot of different friends and family, you know, from these different teams. But overall, not just a basketball player, I've also built, amazing portfolio outside of the actual entertainment space, which is basketball. And that being said, I have Reform Ventures, I have real estate investments, I have, cash flow opportunities that's, bringing in stuff outside of basketball. And then I also created my own family office, which we act as kind of like a VC company. And we angel invest into tons and tons of different companies and try to keep it diverse across the board. I think to date, we've invested into over 200 companies through funds, fund to funds, direct investments, and regular angel investments from, the different groups that we've been able to align ourselves with. We have several different partners from, some of the top 20 VC firms around the world. And we've created a really good network and a really good deal flow source for ourselves. I mean, we're looking at probably 40, 50 deals a month just trying to scram through with, the small team that I do have. It's been great so far. We've seen some really good exits, and it's been really good. It's been a really fruitful business, to be in. And I love the alternative investment side. You have your typical stocks and bonds, but the alternative investment side is fun. Gives you opportunity to meet a bunch of new people and to build, a database and a network of different, not just different founders, but just different people that's in the investing side, some of the smartest and best minds in the investment world.
Yeah, I mean, so you're a busy man, it sounds like, between the games and always getting deal flow. And I don't know how you do it, but, I guess you're just making it work.
You prioritize time. I think that's the biggest thing. Like for us as athletes, everybody thinks we live, eat and breathe basketball, but that I think in the beginning stages when you're such a young person coming into this league, yes, you live, eat, breathe basketball every single day, but then you start to want more stuff outside of the basketball world, right? And when you start to want more, you start to network and you start to talk to people, you start to learn more, you start to educate yourself more. And I think that's been one of the biggest things, me just educating myself more and wanting to learn more, but also wanting to be something bigger than just a basketball player, just an athlete. I want to make as much money out off the court that I've made on the court. So that's one of my goals. That's one of my dreams, is to take this thing as far as I can take it, you know, as far as investing and being an entrepreneur and being a business owner and mm-hmm. scaling businesses. But, you know, I think, you know, I love basketball, but I also love the business side of things too. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm striving for right now. Basketball is on autopilot for me. I can do basketball in my sleep. Yep. But this business thing, that's where the real hard work comes in. And that's what it's been for me, just like a bunch of hard work and just time putting into it.
Yeah. And I, you know, if you've been in the NBA for 16 years, you know, I don't know how long are you going to be playing the NBA for? Another couple of more years?
Everybody asks me this question. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I don't know. But I do have two young boys that's, you know, yeah. one is actually becoming a teenager this summer. Mm-hmm. He'll be turning 13. And then yep. I have another son. He'll be turning 10 this summer. So I want to start putting a lot of time into, you know, them growing and developing their games. I mean, I'm already putting that time into both of them. But as far as them growing as men, you know, but, you know, in order to kind of like help them really dive into the basketball side of things and being an athlete and understanding what a pro feels like and what it is going to be like, you know, I have to be there, you know, all of the time. And I feel like it's going to come a point in time where I really need to start paying attention a little bit more to what they have going on sports wise. Like I pay attention to everything that's going on from a father's perspective, but right now I'm just kind of letting them feel themselves out and understand who they are as their mm-hmm. as athletes and just letting them kind of just go through their growing pains by themselves, because that's what I had to do in order to learn. I had to go through growing pains, fight a little bit of adversity, and then understand, okay, this is the reason why these things are happening. And then, you know, just having that fight and that grit, you know, is either in you or it's not. And for my sons, I think it's in them. Like they continuously fight. They continuously show grit every time they, you know, they're doing something. It's not just basketball. It's with anything that they're doing, mm-hmm. whether it's doing schoolwork or it's, you know, hanging out with friends and being competitive yep. with friends and video games, everything. So, yep. so I love that about both of them. And, you know, like I said, I think it's going to come a point in time. But as far as like to get back to what you were asking, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how long I play. I mean, I feel like I can play another 4, 5, 6 years if I wanted to, but you know, who's to say I want to?
Maybe your body will tell you. Your body will tell you when it's time to just, you know,
I've been blessed and very, very thankful for being able to play 16 years and play over, you know, 1,000 basketball games in my career.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very blessed.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. And I forgot to ask you. So, I mean, obviously you're doing a lot of things and as far as businesses, but you always had that entrepreneur mindset, or did you start very young? Or
so I've been like, I was fortunate enough to have some people in my family that kind of stepped in. You know, when they started to figure out that I'm probably pretty good at this basketball thing, right?
Yeah.
So I had some people that kind of stepped in, which was like my uncle. His name was Kenneth Carter. He's not with us today, but. He was the kind of like the person that kind of stepped in and started mentoring me on the business side. And then my dad, he played basketball. So he understood the basketball aspect of everything. And my mom was just one of those tough mothers, mm-hmm. like tough love every single day, making sure I did what I needed to do as far as like school teacher. So I've always had the entrepreneurial mindset because I've always been interested in business. I've always been interested in, okay, you know, if this basketball thing doesn't work out, like how am I going to be able to be a provider for, you know, not just myself, but my family that I'm going to have in the future, right? Yep. So I've always had that at the back of my mind with anything that I've done, you know, from day one. And, you know, when this thing started, when I was 16 years old, you know, it started with me starting to learn how to train as a pro, how to eat as a pro, how to sleep as a pro, how to do everything as a pro. And I took that same approach and put it into the business side, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, even with basketball, you watch film, you know, you're always studying. You know, I'm doing the same thing on the business side each and every day, mm-hmm. studying. So I take the same approach from basketball to the business world. Because they're not very, very different. Basketball teaches everything that we need in the business world. It teaches us team building, camaraderie, leadership skills, life skills, organization skills. It teaches us all of that stuff, right? And those are all easily applied into the business world.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You almost feel like you're the new Magic Johnson, you know, with kind of the entrepreneur, because Magic became really successful, right?
Yeah, no, and it takes time. I mean, it just takes a lot of time and effort that you're putting into it. It's going to be a lot of like love lost throughout that course of time. But when you're trying to be great, like you don't make everybody happy in the process, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's one of the things you have to be comfortable with. You have to be comfortable with, not making everybody happy and, not being a confrontational person, but not shying away from the confrontation when it comes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You know, having the tough conversations, you know, even if it's your mom, it's your dad, or it's your best friend, you know, your wife or your girlfriend, being able to have tough conversations with every single person and just continuously being true and honest to not only you and yourself, but to other people as well. And they'll respect you more in the long run. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's going to be a lot of love lost, but at the end of the day, your big picture is your big picture. Your goals are your goals. And in order to achieve, all of those things, you have to, stay the course, and you have to, and sometimes your course is not the same course as other people.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, so let's go back to you as an NBA athlete, right? So how important, you invest in technology, right? But practically, how important are technologies for you as an athlete in terms of injury prevention, recovery, mental health? I mean, there's a lot of wear technology companies, right, out there, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, wearables to measure hydration, dehydration, mental health, EMG sensors to measure muscle fatigue. I mean, it's very broad right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so many of them out there. Like we're seeing companies just coming out of the wazoo, right? And all of these companies, they all do something different, but it all leads back to one thing, in a certain sector. So like, with sleep, you might have 17 or 20 different companies that's in the sleeping space.
Yeah.
But and they all monitor and check your sleep from mm-hmm. different ways, like from having, glasses and shades mm-hmm. on while you sleep, to having headphones on while you sleep, to having something around your neck, to wearing a watch around your wrist, to just laying in the bed and in the bed having sensors.
Yep.
To wearing rings. Mm-hmm. So like, but they all attract the same thing. So I think it's just a matter of what people are like attracted to. And technology is a huge part of like, the world now, right? Like when I first came into the NBA, technology wasn't as big in the NBA side. Now we use technology for everything to try to monitor, workloads, to monitor how much force a guy is pushing off one leg to the other, mm-hmm. To jumping, to running, to hip symmetry, all this different stuff like now. So, and like we're always taking biometrical scans of our flexibility and stuff like that. So it's mm-hmm. definitely something that's changed over the course of time, and it's really sped up with COVID. COVID has sped technology up 10 years by far. And we're seeing some of the best technology that we'll probably ever see, mm-hmm. just because of what COVID did. And it's only improving, with all of the different things that's coming out. Like everybody's making it to where AI is included mm-hmm. in all the technology, right? That's like the next phase, the next evolution of products. Like everything has AI, artificial intelligence built into mm-hmm. the different thing, where you're getting instant and simultaneous feedback from, a sensor or from a mic that's in your shirt, or mm-hmm. just all that stuff, or you're scrolling the app and you're looking at an app, and that app is giving you all of the things that's wrong with your body and all the things that you do great.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a lot of sped up technology, and we're seeing some really, really good technology. And there's so many different companies out there, and it almost makes it impossible to choose one.
Yeah.
Because they all do the same. They all do the same thing, but they monitor differently.
Yeah. And I was listening to you. You talk about AI. One of my good friends is Adam Scheyer, who's the inventor of Siri. You should probably talk to him. He's a good friend of mine. And he basically sold Siri to Steve Jobs at Apple many years ago. But I think you would enjoy talking to him. And in fact, we're going to be doing an interview with him about ChatGPT and that next generation of AI very soon. So, hey, another question that I had was, how did you end up investing in startups? I guess maybe what was the first startup that you invested in?
First startup that I invested in was a company called Climate. It's actually not operational today. And that was my first investment. So I was a little bullish on it because of the idea of what I thought it could do. But I also didn't have the appropriate knowledge of whether it was competitors or different companies or whether it was just a thing that people would, you know, adapt to. Because that's one of the things that you have to have, right? You have to have consumers be able to adopt to the product, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that the product is going to continuously going and they're probably going to continuously, form and shape to what you want it to be. And I just think that like it got into a point where the product wasn't as efficient enough for companies to say, hey, we want to incorporate this into what we're doing. And don't get me wrong. It was a great business model, a great product. So what they did was they were like a form of OfferUp, Let's Go, and eBay kind of all tied in together.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the geotagging feature, which I thought was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
To basically have these companies sell, give, or buy product.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically tying in the consumer with the actual brand itself or the actual consumer with the actual seller itself and bringing mm-hmm. them to a point to where they can meet.
Interesting.
So, and they was using it, actually they was using it for that, not only that, but to do also like product giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you have a bunch of businesses, so you might have T-Mobile, you might have StockX, you might have, you know, Sneaker Villa or something like that. And they might say, okay, we want to give away 25 pair of shoes to our consumers. We're going to show up in our pink truck with Climate on it. And everybody who has the app, they can type in, oh, I want these shoes, and going into the giveaway platform, they might win, but you have a location that you have to go and pick your stuff up from.
Interesting.
But it was really good because they was using certain like algorithms and features and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
And within to pick their winners and how their winners was like winning and stuff like that. And I thought it was really cool. It just didn't catch on. And I think it didn't catch on because the founder was good, but he wanted to do 17 different jobs.
Too many things. Yeah,
too many things. And he just needed to focus on building the product and let everybody else focus on all the different jobs and the different stuff that needed to happen. And I think that's one of the reasons why the company kind of never like went to what it should have been.
Yeah.
And you know, we're still cool to this day. Like, I understand it. But like I said, I wasn't able to dive into it the way I needed to dive into it because I didn't have the knowledge. And after that first investment and it didn't pan out, I started to gain the knowledge and understood that, okay, I need to, you know, ask to have access to a data room. I need to, do appropriate due diligence, mm-hmm. make sure all the legal documents are up to date, make sure that we're not missing something in legal documents. You know, if we need to change something, negotiating terms, preferred stock. All this different stuff I had to learn and understand. Yep. And once I learned and understand, and then also, you know, not just looking at who the founder was, but looking at the team that's behind them, looking mm-hmm. at their experience, you know, looking at the strategic investors, looking at the strategic advisors, looking mm-hmm. at who's on the cap table and how those people on the cap table all or have something in common. Just all these different things. And it helped me form the analysis report, you know, for me to like look at and see.
So that comes to my next question, right? Which was, you know, what are you looking when you're investing in startups? And I think you touched on that, right? But the team, you know, who's on the cap table? Who are the advisors, right? The product, the market, yep. All those things, right?
Yep.
So it looks like you're really doing your due diligence on all those companies.
Yeah, like I've since then, I've formed my own team. And my team basically, you know, they helped me a lot. And I have two investment analysis guys that, you know, they all they do is sit there and look at and dive into deals and pop out, you know, one pages and like investment analysis reports for me to kind of look at and go through. And then I have my fund manager who happens to be my cousin as well, which is perfect. She's a she's a developer by trade, but she has an MIT degree as well.
Wow.
And she kind of like dives into like the side of like talking to the founders and making sure that we have all the appropriate, you know, legal docs and stuff like that. But another thing she also does is, you know, she gives me the avenue to kind of like spearhead some of the actual conversations and calls to where I was able to learn a lot of stuff and learn what questions to ask and how to kind of evaluate different deals from different perspectives. And then also, you know, when we're looking at these deals, they all are in different categories, right? So understanding the sectors of all the different deals. So if it's, you know, consumer products, understanding that. If it's a subscription or recurring model type business, understanding that. To AI type businesses, to, biomechanics and, you know, just all types of stuff. Like, so just understanding something about all those different avenues and different like sectors of the actual tech sector itself, like that works wonders with everybody.
It looks like you really have a process, right? A really defined process when you're looking at companies, and you got your support team as well, right? Which is key.
Right. No, and that's exactly what you need. You just need to form a due diligence process for people to kind of like dive into. I think that's one of the biggest things that like for me, I was always saying like, let me just go on and like put something together and put a great team together that can talk on my behalf, and then we all kind of huddle up, and once we finish our huddle, then we come up with a conclusion on what companies we want to invest into, how we want to look at, you know, the big picture for the next year. You know, for me, like it's always been about like. Like one of a famous rapper, you know, got it. He said it like he's always trying to see around the curve before he gets to the corner.
Interesting.
And that's how we are. Like we're the same exact way.
But like just trying to see the future before like everybody else does. So like that's when you okay, like it's not about investing into what's the now, right? It's about it's about investing into what's gonna be the next best thing in the next 5 to 10 years.
For sure.
Investing that way.
Now, can you tell me about maybe your favorite portfolio startups that you invested in?
Man, that's a good question. We have so many different companies. I mean, I'm a little bullish on all of them because like we invest into so many of them, and I'm talking about not just the ones that we're invested into through the funds and fund to funds and like the SPVs and stuff like that. I'm talking about the direct investment. So like we have probably 100 or so, maybe a little bit more direct investments, like directly into the companies. And I would probably say one company that I'm super excited about is, it's kind of like Tunnel. Like I'm an investor into Tunnel as well.
Yeah, I know that.
I invest into Tunnel and it's at a 10x right now. But I'm gonna say this company called Oxfit.
Oxfit? Never heard of it.
Oxfit. They're so the founder. He's exited out of three different companies and all of them over $1 billion.
Wow. Okay.
And he's a software guy, but man, he created this basically like this tunnel on steroids, right?
Really?
So, yes, it's like they have two products. They have two hardware products. The two hardware products is the XS1 and the XP1.
Yeah.
One is a commercial product and the other one is a residential product. Mm-hmm. And the commercial product is for obviously like big sports gyms, like big facilities and like teams. So like football and NFL, college, MLB and stuff like that. So you put those in there. And then the residential unit is smaller. It folds up. It's like the tunnel. It's the mm-hmm. but instead of you turn your wall apart like you have to do for the tunnel, it sits up and it has force plate technology. It does skiing, it does rowing, it does paddle boating.
Everything. So like a Swiss knife.
Yeah, it's like the Swiss Army knife for working out. And then they also have Pilates as well.
Pilates?
And you can lift weights on it. Like it does everything. And you never have to preload a weight, like a free weight. You never have to use a free weight ever again.
Interesting. Well, we should get him on the podcast. We should get him on the podcast for sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it's on, it's on, everything's on like a multi motored pulley system.
Mm-hmm.
So touchscreen, you adjust the weight and everything like that. And then he has it set up to where, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you take the classes and stuff like that, but you can also prescribe your own workouts and then you can send your workouts to other people.
Yeah.
So like if I needed to work out with my team or do something that my team wanted me to do, they can put together a workout and send it to me on the platform.
Interesting. It's like a great technology, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, and it monitors everything. It does biometrical scans to monitoring the force plate and which side you're giving more on. And it also has gamification features as well with the skiing and the rowing and the canoeing and stuff like that.
Yeah. Sound like you've got one at home. You've got a machine at home.
Yes. Yes. It's probably one of the best products that I have. I love everything about it. I think it's a multi-billion-dollar company, mm-hmm. and I think it can be. I think they've already sold maybe within the first year or two, over 1,500 to 2,000 units. They're building a great consumer base, and then later on, what they want to continuously do is they want to add a lifestyle component to it, to where the people who are consumers, who are like workout, fitness, and lifestyle fanatics, they can create their own channels within the platform.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, and they're based where in the U.S.?
They're based actually in Dallas. They're like 10 minutes from my house.
Interesting.
I was like, this is right around the corner. Like, yeah, I'm going to see this today.
I used to live in Dallas back in 2010. I lived there for 2 years.
Say it again.
I used to live in Dallas back in 2010.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So
it's probably 10 times different now.
I used to live in Allen, Texas. That's where I.
Okay. That's not far. I stay in Frisco.
Okay. Yeah, Frisco, of course. Yeah. Last two questions. So you work with a lot of great NBA coaches, right?
Yep.
So my question to you is, who was the best coach that you worked for? Is that Pop from the Spurs, or who was the greatest coach you worked for?
I had like really good ones too. I like a bunch of my coaches. Like I can name them all and. Like I've never had any bad blood with any of them. I mean, a couple, but for the most part, I'll probably say the best coach to kind of like be around it's three of them for me. Between Nate McMillan was good to work with. And then also Doug Collins was great. He's a great coach.
I'm not surprised, yeah.
Like, I think from a preparation standpoint, he always had you prepared. He always made sure that you were, like, three games ahead in preparation. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing between – he always worried a lot. Like, he was always worried because he wanted
that. It sounds like he's a bit kind of nervous or, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. But don't get me wrong, he was a great coach. He gave you a role, and I think that's, like, what he's seen in you as a player, and he tried to maximize those efforts in your role.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like, just the knowledge from, like, Coach Pop, like the way he, like, obviously, like, he doesn't have the same teams and the same players that he's had in the past, but he's done a great job at building those young guys up over there. Like, you know, I don't think DeJounte would be DeJounte, you know, mm-hmm. without coming through the Spurs system, right?
Yeah. For sure.
You have guys like Kawhi. And then you have the young guys who are now, you know, taking over. You know, you have Devin who's over there killing it. You have Trey Jones over there, Keldon Johnson. Like, those guys are like the new guys on the block. And I've seen that games grow and expand so much over the course of a short period of time. And I know it's because of, like, the system that they have in place for those guys. And they do a really good job of not only, you know, preparing you, but challenging mm-hmm. you on a day-to-day basis. Like, everything is always a test. They're always trying to break you to see how far, you know, how far they can go, or how far is it you're willing to go in order to be the best you can be. And like, I think that type of preparation has always been great.
Yeah, for sure. Another quick question is, who's the best player in the NBA that you ever played against? The best that you played against?
The best player?
Yeah.
You can take this several different ways. Like it's a lot of great players, but obviously, like, I'll probably say the smartest individual is Bron.
Yeah,
the best player as far as, like, scoring, mm-hmm. I would say Kobe.
Kobe, yeah.
And then if we're talking about, like, somebody who's live all day every day, my hardest the hardest player I've had to guard is Carmelo Anthony in his prime.
Oh, really?
By far, and there's plenty of people who still play this game to this day that's played like Melo, like, in his prime. Oh man, it was crazy. Like, he was almost unstoppable. Like, mm-hmm. just so hard to stop, and you're like, man, like, how I'm gonna stop him tonight? You know, because he's always live. Like, everything is orchestrated and ran for him. So, you know, he's gonna run out three or four screens. So you're gonna get bumped by three or four guys before you even get a chance to guard. And when you guard, you start guarding him, like, he's gonna bump you. He's gonna get you off him, like, just live all day, every day. And then, like, the footwork that he had to get into jump shots, the footwork that he had to get his shot off or to mm-hmm. drive past you and get to the basket, like, the athleticism that he had early on in his career, like, just made him into such a hard guard for, like, most guys in the league.
Yeah, and I know Carmelo's business partner, he's been investing in a bunch of startups as well.
Yeah, so. I think they started, Tech 7 or something like that?
Yes, exactly. Middle Tech 7 Fund.
Yeah. 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 I think and that's one of the things too. I pay attention to, like, a lot of the other guys and their investments in their funds and stuff, because it's cool to see what guys are, like, investing in and who got, like, the really good deal flow, right? So, like, mm-hmm. Obviously, like, being in Silicon Valley, the Warriors that have really good deal flow, right? Like, so, like, Andre Iguodala and Steph Curry and all those guys that have really good deal flow. So just watching some of their investments and then seeing how, like, they're looking at some of the different things.
So they send you deal flow? Do they send you deal flow?
I think we pretty much get, like, all the same deal flow, because I have I'm tapped into Silicon Valley, the Cali area, and then, like, New York, and, you know, all the different places and stuff like that. So I have a pretty good network where I don't have to depend on other guys for deals.
Okay.
But guys really just hit me up for deals, like, texting me, hey, what you got on table nine? I might send him like five deals and say, look, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, check sizes of this, you know, just getting to understand, because a lot of guys don't have what I have in place. Like, I've kind of built my own family office and have my own kind of set for actual investing into tech. And a lot of guys don't really have that.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see that. Hey, last question, the very last one, I promise.
I'm here.
Okay, so who's gonna win the NBA title this season? Who's your favorite to win it?
Who's my favorite? I'm gonna say the sleeper is Toronto Raptors.
There you go. That's the answer. That's the correct answer.
We the sleepers. We gonna make a push towards the end. But you know, we the sleepers. But if I had to pick a team outside of my team.
Yeah.
Man, honestly, I was liking the Celtics and the Bucks, but with all this moving around the West, Phoenix looking really good right now.
That's right. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
It was really fun to talk to you, and look, I'm impressed by, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, like the empire that you built beyond your NBA career, but I think it's quite unique. So congrats on that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I gave you one company. I'm actually loving like five or six companies I'm invested into. You know, just for the simple fact of like I really like them. I really think they're gonna really scale and be like huge companies. You know, Oxfit obviously is one.
Yeah.
Coco Delivery is one. That's like the food delivery service through the little drones, the riding drones on the street. And then Shoot 360 is another, which is basketball analytics and technology. You know, real time data from, you know, just a screen. Another company called Hoop, which is basically like the screen inside of a backboard that tracks all of your data and gives you workouts, and you can go peer-to-peer. You can go, you know, you can do gamification games where you're shooting against another person. You can FaceTime with people. You can watch, you know, game or Netflix and all that stuff on it while you're actually working out. You know,
that's cool.
It's a bunch of companies, man. Like I can go down the line and list a bunch of them, like just at all the different reasons why I like certain companies, you know, just because like, One, I'm like tied into all of them. Like I like try to help a lot of them. Like this is one company, Canada based. It's called Plantiga, where they do.
I was gonna ask you because I know Quinn. I know Quinn Sandler.
Plantiga is a really good company. I think they can really do something. I think what they have to do is like they have to figure out how to get to, if they want to go to direct the consumer route. They need to figure out how to make it more appealing and make the insoles a little bit more comfortable. So what we did was we connected them with this one company that I'm invested into. And I think it's like on a cap table is me, Jamal Crawford, Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard is actually a co-founder of the company.
Yeah.
It's Move Insoles.
And, oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so like the insole company. So like we've connected those two together to try to see if we can get Plantiga to get a Move insole with an insert in it. So now, as opposed to like kids going by insoles or people going by insoles, and they can now track their steps. They can now track their force that they're using in all of their movements and on the court and stuff like that. So just trying to like, you know, that's one of the things we try to do. We try to partner our companies up that we think make sense together.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a story about Queen. I helped Queen in the early days. We went to Side by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
And I say, Queen. So I literally went to Shaq. I went to talk to Shaquille O'Neal. He was watching a Snoop Dogg concert. So I went up there in VIP section, and I grabbed Shaq's arm, and I said, Shaq, can I talk to you? And he looked at me, and he looked at his agent and said, go talk to my agent. So that was my, you know, 30 seconds of fame with Shaq, basically. And then Queen, I gave the business card to Queen, and that's my story with Queen. So it was kind of funny.
Oh, nice. Nah, it's crazy how you meet so many different people, and you know, in this space, you know, being at all these different, you know, seminars and tech events and stuff like that. Like, you never know who you're gonna meet. You never know, you know, that person at that point in time can just be starting up the company, and then it turns into an overnight success, and 4 years down the line is now worth $2 or $3 billion because they've scaled it, or they figured something out that somebody else can't figure out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So look, we're at the end of the podcast, but again, I want to thank you for your time today.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To access past episodes and other research, articles, and analysis of sports technology, please visit our website, theupside.us. Subscribe to the Upside newsletter and receive full access to our sports tech business letter and website. Royalty-free music is provided by ibaudio.com. The Upside podcast provides timely insights and interviews with global leaders in sports technology. Until next time, keep looking to the upside.